so that what I say and do can be used against me in the court of law. All right, opening up to Proverbs. We are going to continue in our series of Proverbs, the patterns of Proverbs. Talking about the format, talking about the subject matter, talking about the application in the New Testament. By my count, this is now our seventh week, getting close to 2 months here. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and we will dive into tonight's study. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for this opportunity that we, your people, and we, your children, can gather around in your name to study your scripture, to be encouraged by the things that we read, by the things that we learn, and of course, by one another. Lord, we thank you for the technology that we have available to us. So not only can those who are locally be encouraged, but those who are greater distances can still tune in to hear and to listen, and of course, to be encouraged and us to be encouraged by them. Lord, we know that when someone finds something of importance, they spend time on it. They take time out of their schedules because they recognize that this is something of importance. So I'm so thankful for all the saints here, Lord, who have demonstrated by being here and by listening that, you know, understanding your word to help us with spiritual maturity and growth is important. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless all of our efforts as we continue to learn and grow and understand more about you and your character, and, of course, how this applies to us as your servants so we can be even more effective for you in the kingdom. All this we ask, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so back into the pattern of Proverbs. And as I mentioned last week, this is kind of a little series within a series. We are talking about the ladies. We're going to do part two of the ladies. Last week, we talked about the forbidden woman. This is a particular subject that comes up, every so often in the book of Proverbs. It might not be as frequent as some of the other subjects, but the forbidden woman, it does come up quite often. And, when it comes to the forbidden woman, there's a couple different ways we can look at it. Now, forbidden woman, it talks about, temptation and adultery and, the dangers that are involved in being involved in an inappropriate relationship, inappropriate according to the biblical definition. You know, yes, the world was an inappropriate relationship. You might get some really weird definitions. But if we zoom out from that, not just talking about, looking at it from the surface, if we compare the forbidden to the world, which is what Scripture also does, we saw that last week in the book of Revelation, there are some much bigger dangers that we can find about the forbidden woman. There's parallels there between lies and temptation and even spiritual death. So there's a lot of application we can find between the forbidden woman and the world when it comes to the spiritual impact. So this week, we're going to look at the other side of the proverb, because that's one of the things that we're always seeing in Proverbs. There's always two sides to things, right? We've looked at different subjects and different topics, and there's two sides, productivity and laziness and righteousness and wickedness and anger versus patience. Well, when it comes to the ladies, there's two sides of it as well, because last week we talked about the forbidden woman, but Proverbs also talks a lot about wives or the wife. A wife, an excellent wife. So we're going to look at the other side of it. Now let's start off by looking at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Tawanda, your man is on and listening. All right, we got the whole Felton clan here. Both virtually and in person. Y'all are like the hybrid family participating. Fantastic. Love it. love it. All right. So I'm going to do a little backpedaling here because, again, a lot of these Proverbs, they're two sides of the spectrum. The forbidden woman, that's one side of the spectrum. That's the part you don't want. Right? So that would lead a person to think, so the wife is on the other side of the spectrum. When the forbidden woman is always described as bad, she's over here on the bad side of the spectrum. The wife is always on this side of the spectrum. Good. Not always the case. Not always the case. Because sometimes wives in Proverbs are shown in a positive light, and sometimes in not such a positive light. Years of domestication has made me be very careful of how I phrase that. I don't want to say the other side is good or bad. Don't say bad when you're talking about a wife, right? But again, sometimes in a positive light, sometimes in not a positive light. So there's a lot of verses in Proverbs that can talk about how great a wife can be. A lot of verses. I would say that there are more verses in Proverbs about a wife that put her in a positive light rather than negative. And so let's start off by looking at a few of these. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Hey, way to go. Those of you guys who have found a wife, you know what you found? You found a good thing. I like the simplicity of that proverb. You know, it's not too complicated, but it's got grand applications. If you have found a wife, you have found a good thing. Now, pay attention. How is a wife good, according to this proverb? What is it that makes a wife good, according to this proverb? We're not told. It doesn't tell us. I mean, it doesn't say that, well, she's good if she's pretty, or an excellent cook, or she's kind, or she's caring, or she's nurturing. It's kind of just speaking in generalities here. But the second part is what really should pique a man's interest, is that not only if you have found a wife have you found a good thing, but you have also obtained favor from the Lord. Nice. Now we're going to come back and talk more about why that is and what that is. What is that favor that you have obtained from the Lord? But let's keep looking at a few other similar proverbs for now. Let's go to chapter 19, one chapter over. Probably don't even have to flip a page. Verse 14, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Another great proverb, pretty simple, but magnificent implications. Property and wealth are things that people strive after, right? I mean, who doesn't want some property and who doesn't want some wealth? And people usually strive after these things like their whole lives. They spend their entire lives trying to achieve great wealth. And we've talked before about how a lot of people equate success with these things. If you've got wealth and you've got property, you are a successful person. But we are given a comparison in this verse. There's a comparison here. Scripture emphasizes time and time again that that which is from the Lord is far greater than anything we can have on this earth. And that is the underlying comparison being made here, right? Hey, you may get things like house or wealth as a result of earthly inheritance, right? House and wealth are inherited from fathers. You might get that as a result of earthly inheritance. But a prudent wife is from God and is therefore greater than house and wealth. I'm expecting to hear a lot of amens from the ladies tonight. Haven't heard one yet. This proverb, it's different from the one we just read in chapter 18. In that the wife in chapter 18 is just described as what?
Good.
But in chapter 19, we're starting to get a little bit more specific. Not only is a wife good and from the Lord, but it's also prudent. Prudence has to deal with being mindful of what lies ahead, being aware, being prepared for the future. Many people consider house and wealth as security for the future. If you've got a house and you've got wealth, you're set up pretty good well for the future. But a wife in this verse is being described as above those things. Now, once again, we're going to come back and talk about why that is in this study. Let's flip over a few more chapters to chapter 31.
But being a good cook is implied and prudent.
I wouldn't argue with that.
No.
Dale says, for those online, being a good cook is also implied with being prudent. And again, I wouldn't argue with that. Planning future meals. The funny meme. It's like nobody told me that becoming an adult, the hardest part about being an adult was deciding what you're going to have for dinner every night for the rest of your life. Proverbs 31. Now, we're not going to read any of these. We're just going to kind of glance at them, really. You know, I find it sort of interesting that the book of Proverbs ends with these verses, and they're all about the qualities and characteristics and benefits of having an excellent wife. And verses 10 through 31, you know, take the time to read that. We're going to come back and look at a few of these later. We're given this great description as to what makes a wife good and great and beneficial. And you can kind of see a few things just by glancing at it, what should stick out at you. You know, verse 12, does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Verse 15, she's a hard worker. Verse 27, she looks out for her household. You know, I kind of like what we're told about an excellent wife in Proverbs 31, because the other verses we looked at, you know, really just imply that having a good wife is beneficial. But chapter 31, that's when you get the why. Here's why having a good wife is so beneficial. And again, chapter 18, having a wife is good. Chapter 19, having a wife is prudent is good. Verse 31, that's when the rubber really hits the road, and here says, this is why having a good wife is good. These are the reasons that support it. All right, so those are some verses that tell us the benefits of having a good wife. Now, but like I said, Proverbs has two sides of things. Gives the positive light and the not so positive light. So let's just look at a few of these that, you know, kind of give us that other side. Chapter 12. Going to tread lightly here. Got to. Verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Now, this is the classic proverb that can be categorized in a few places because it gives us the two sides of something, right? That's usually what we see in Proverbs, two sides. Now, this is the classic proverb because it's giving you two sides. In this case, an excellent wife could be the crown of her husband. Crown. Something that's beautiful, something that you want to show off. Look at my excellent wife. That's how I think of my wife. Look at my excellent wife. Beautiful. You're proud of your excellent wife. The other side of the proverb indicates that a wife who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Now, if a person has rotting bones, what does that imply? Phil, you and I were talking about drinking your milk. You pour some calcium, right? Not good. Strong bones. We want those, right? Because the person has, what kind of impact is that going to have a person if they have rotting bones? I mean, let's look at this literally. You're going to have trouble moving. You're going to have trouble doing things. Just functioning on a basic level is going to be hard, right? Now, let's look at a few other Proverbs on this subject, and we're going to kind of look at them back to back. I want to get out of this as quickly as I can. Proverbs 19, and then we're going to look at Proverbs 27. And you're going to see why we're going to kind of hit these back to back, Proverbs 19 and then Proverbs 27. Verses 13, a foolish son is ruin to his father. And a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. All right, now flip over to chapter 27 because there's a very similar proverb. Same thing, basically same thing. Proverbs 27. Yes, sir. I'm looking at verses 15 through 16. A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind or to grasp oil in one's right hand. All right. I mean, obviously, there's a reason that I kind of group these together. We've all been through days of consecutive rain, right? And at first you're like, all right, it's raining. I guess we needed it. But after a day or two, you're starting to be like, okay, well, when's this going to stop? It's kind of the comparison we're given here to a quarrelsome wife. You know, one or two rainy days, that's not so bad. But after a while, the rain kind of makes it difficult to get anything done. You know, outside keeps you from feeling like doing anything. Now, thankfully, I do not have a quarrelsome wife, but I could see how being in the presence of someone who is continuously argumentative would have this effect on someone. One more, Proverbs 25. We're going to move on. Again, we're just hitting a few of these about wives. And then we're going to move on. Verse 24. It is better to live in a corner of a housetop than a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. We're getting some feedback now. Okay. So here again, we're seeing mention of a quarrelsome wife. But this time, the point is being made, it's better to have meager surroundings and peace than a lot with a quarrelsome wife. There was a funny meme that was kind of going around on Facebook not too long ago. And I guess, no, it was not a funny meme. It was like, you know, Johnny Depp and Will Smith prove a couple things. You know, you could have fame, you could have money, you could have great material possessions, but if you ain't got a good wife, what do you got? You know, it's like, ooh, it's true. Kind of makes me feel good to make think I've got more than Johnny Depp and Will Smith. Go me. All right. Anyone have anything they'd like to add before we kind of move on to a little application? There is application here. All right. Let's go to Genesis 2. In the beginning. Genesis 2. Now, believe it or not, aside from talking about wives, all these verses, whether a wife is being portrayed in a positive light or a not so positive light, they have a similarity. What's the similarity? aside the fact that they're talking about wives or a wife. All of them share the similarity of what kind of an impact a wife can have on her husband, on her family, and on her household. That's the similarity, right? Good wife, prudent wife, you know, great wife is like the crown of her husband, quarrelsome wife. I mean, again, if you look at all of them, the similarity they share is they kind of show what kind of impact a wife can have on her husband, household, family, surroundings in general. Now, consider all these verses we just read that kind of highlight both the positive and the negative side. A wife can be a blessing to her family. She can help in planning for the future. She can play a critical role in the well-being of the household. A wife can also be a hindrance to functionality by being constantly argumentative. Now, that, of course, is the reference to being quarrelsome. There's very few things that you can find that can have such a big impact on anything on both sides of the spectrum, right? Now, when you think about things that are beneficial, like, let's say, diet and exercise, the impact of diet and exercise and the positive part of that is supposed to outweigh the negative. Hey, sure, when you exercise, you could get injured. When you diet, you might have to give up some of your favorite foods, but the benefit of doing those things far outweigh the risks. On the other side, when you think about things that are detrimental, I mean, like, consider hard drugs, the impact will be more negative than positive. Some people say, yeah, I might have a brief reprisal from some of my troubles and my state of mind and my personal condition, but the toll that it takes on your mind and your body in the long run is going to have a worse effect than the positive things. Now, one of the things that these proverbs make clear is that a wife can be something that can have a tremendous impact in a multitude of ways. A wife could be something to be proud of that makes life better, even easier. And it could be the opposite. I mean, y'all know one of the things that I do is anytime a couple hires me to officiate their wedding, I become friends with them. And a lot of people like to air out their dirty laundry on social media. I can't believe my husband did this. I can't believe my wife did this. It's like, oh my goodness gracious. Whew. So reading and studying all these proverbs about wives, it kind of wanted me to go back to the beginning. And let's look at the origin of marriage. And I wanted to refamiliarize myself with why God started marriage in the first place. So let's look at chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. I can't imagine how long that took, right? The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two, and they shall become two, one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. All right. So here in Scripture, first time woman comes on the scene. What does Adam say? Come here often? No. At last, right? But verse 18 talks about why God made woman in the first place. Why was it? Why did he make it in the first place, woman in the first place, according to verse 18? Yeah. He needs a helper, and it's not good for him to be alone. I find it kind of interesting that God said in the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. In Proverbs chapter 18, how is a wife described? As a good thing, right? Isn't that cool? It's not good for man to be alone. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Cool. We're fulfilling this. Now, keep in mind, God could have given Adam anything to keep him from being alone, right? Could have given him a dog, man's best friend. A cat, if it turns out Adam was a cat person and not a dog person. But what does he decide on? He says woman. Woman. Now the question we should be asking ourselves is why? Why a woman? But let's pay attention to how woman was created, okay? In verse 21, Scripture says that God took a rib from the man and made it into a woman, and then brought her to the man. Now, I find that absolutely amazing when you look at it from the angle of completion. See, God designed humans, and every part of a human lends itself in some way to functionality, right? Hands, meant for grabbing, legs, meant for walking, ears, meant for listening, eyes, meant for seeing, etc. Now, when any one of those things are taken away or lost, you know, for whatever reason, accident, you know, war, whatever the reason is, that individual is no longer as complete as they once were, right? Lost your eye, lost your hand, lost your arm. Can't walk, can't grab, can't see as well. God took one of Adam's ribs out of him, and for a short time, I mean, it wasn't a very long time, it's just while he was sleeping, Adam was incomplete because God had taken a part out of him. He was missing something, right? I mean, he started off with all those ribs, and then God took something, and he was missing something. He was incomplete for a little while. Then when God brought to Adam Eve, which was his bone, what was his response? I mean, look at verse 23. This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is what Adam had been waiting for. Now, we're not told how exactly, but somehow Adam recognized that Eve was a part of him. He recognized this. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. At last. He recognized this. And now that she was given to him, Adam recognizes that now he's complete. He recognized it. Oh, okay, that's what I was missing. Now I'm complete. Now, saints, we could go to Ephesians chapter 5. We could go to Titus chapter 2 and get down to the nitty-gritty about the roles and responsibilities of women. I mean, we could go there if we wanted. But let's just zoom back for a moment and just admire why God made woman in the first place. It's so that man could be complete, right? God said, it's not right for a man to be alone. He needs a helper fit for him. So now I'm going to give you woman so you will be complete. Without having a woman, man was missing something. Eve was created to complete Adam. Woman was created to complete man. Wife was created to complete husband. Now, you want to talk about the impact that a woman can have. It doesn't get any bigger than being able to complete somebody. It doesn't get any bigger than that. When you want to talk about an impact that a person can have on another person, completing them is about as big as it gets. I'll tell you one other thing I find fascinating. You know, again, I'll do premarital counseling with couples. And one of the questions I like to throw out there is, you know, why do you want to get married? Why do you want to marry so-and-so? What is it about this person that makes you want to spend the rest of your life with them? And what's, if you had to guess, what's a common answer? Don't say taxes. Don't say taxes. Oh, the tax benefits. No. They complete me. Absolutely, Phil. That's what they say. Because this person completes me. You know what's fascinating? Is that even people who don't believe in God or claim that they're not religious or spiritual, that's still the answer that they have. That's still their answer. That this person completes me. And this idea of one person completing another comes from where? It's like non-Christians celebrating Christmas. I love it. You guys can't deny it even if you wanted to. When you think of a wife in terms of completion, doesn't it bring all these proverbs we read tonight into focus? You know? Why is a wife a good thing? Why does he who has a wife obtain favor from the Lord? Why is a wife the crown of her husband? Because she completes him. All right, we're going to continue to build on this. Any questions or comments as we continue? All right, let's flip back to Proverbs. We're going to go to 31. We're going to look at some of those qualities of a wife. We're going to zone in a little bit. Again, we talked about being a good thing. We talked about being prudent. I said we were going to come back to Proverbs 31, and now we're doing it. Now we're doing it. Anybody have anything you want to add before we continue? Okay. Here's another thing that I was kind of thinking about. I can't have access to my phone because I got a go-to meeting, but I'm going to ask somebody here, or many people, to Google something. So we talked before about when it came to making sure that Adam was not alone, God could have given him anything, but he gave him a woman, right? Again, could have given him a dog, a cat, whatever, but he gave him a woman. And what did God fashion the woman out of? A rib. Why a rib? Why a rib? I mean, if we're talking about DNA, he could have used a fingernail. He could have used hair. You know, could have used taken one of those swabs and got around Adam's nose. I mean, he could have used anything. Why did he use a rib? Why a rib? Because he had a lot of them. He had a lot of hair, too. Well, we don't know that, do we? All right, do me a favor. Bring up your phone, pull up the internets, the interwebs, and Google this. Purpose of your ribs. Google it right now. Purpose of your ribs. Huh? I want the Google definition. I want the worldly definition. All right, let me hear it. Okay, so there were three verbs that were used in those definitions. What are the three verbs? Protects, assists, and provides. That's what ribs do, right? They provide, they protect, and they assist. Now, don't those verbs line up perfectly with the roles and responsibilities of a wife as provided in God's Word? Isn't that what wives do? Do they protect? Do they provide? Do they assist? Yeah. Look in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 12. Now this is talking, now let's back up to verse 10. Again, I don't want to take anything out of context. I'm going to zone in on verse 12 though. Because let's make sure we know what we're talking about. Verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Excuse me. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Says that the wife does good and not harm. In other words, she's not going to do anything to hurt her husband. It's going to be the opposite. She's going to do things to help protect her husband. See, unlike the quarrelsome wife that is compared to the continual dripping of rain, the excellent wife protects her husband all the days of her life. Literally speaking, my ribs are supposed to protect me all the days of my life, too. Look at verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, we're told here that she looks after her household. She's not idle. You know, one of the shows that I really like are just like those survival shows, you know, Dual Survivor, where they take a couple guys or just one person and they drop them in the middle of nowhere, and they may give them a few resources, they may give them a few tools, and they'll say, okay, you just have to survive for X amount of days, or you have to find your way to civilization or something like this. And one of the things that I love what these guys are always doing is they're not idle, because they recognize if we just sit here and do nothing, we're dead meat, because the water's not going to get itself, the food's not going to get itself, the shelter's not going to get itself. So what happens after they find some food and they find a water source and they build a shelter? You know what they do after that? They say, how can we improve our situation? Right? Because this shelter, it's working out fine now, but it's also not raining, so we need a roof. Okay, we got the roof. But if we stay here long enough, it's going to start getting cold, so we need to start thinking about insulation. So where can we go to get insulation? And yeah, we have this food source right now, but it's also because this particular season, you know, vegetables are in or mushrooms are sprouting, but pretty soon it's not going to happen. So they're constantly thinking about what can we do to make things better? What can we do to continuously improve our situation? They realize that being idle is a bad idea. The excellent wife assists in making sure the household is effective and efficient. She helps to make improvements where they can be made. Let's look at verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. All right. Now, no fear of snow, no big deal, because people are clothed. But where do people get those clothes? Look at verse 9. Excuse me, 19. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands on the spindle. She's making them. According to verse 24, she makes linen garments, and she sells them. Now, I think we can kind of view this, you know, verse 21 there somewhat metaphorically. When we're talking about snow, what are we talking about? You guys know there's like memes on Facebook, you know, prepare yourself, brace yourself, winter is coming, you know. What is snow supposed to kind of metaphorically represent? Cold weather, hard times, right? Because before the snow comes, you should have already got your crops in, you should have got everything prepared away for winter to help last you through winter, right? So snow, if you look at it from a metaphorical standpoint, we're talking about hard times here. You know, making clothes, doing her part to make sure that needs are met, and that is how she provides to her family. That is a way that a wife provides to her family, making sure that everybody has what they need. Brian, let me ask you this. When your kids need clothes, when they're growing out of stuff, who go gets them? Yeah, Jamie does, right? Yeah, same thing in my household. Every now and then, Jess will bring home some bags of clothes. I'm like, what is that? She was like, well, Mike is growing out of stuff, or Maya's growing out of stuff. I'm like, they are? I had no idea. Turns out kids get bigger. Who knew? Right? It wasn't for my wife. Oh, I don't know what size shorts they wear, or what shirts they wear. What's a 2T? Someone tell me what a 2T is. I don't know. You know? You know, if it wasn't for my wife having her hand on the pulse of those things, you know, it's a beautiful thing when I'm like, oh, I'm running out of toothpaste. And I look under my sink and there's a new, like, thing of toothpaste. Or there's, like, you know, some new mouthwash. She was on it, you know? It's a beautiful thing. That is how wives provide for the household. Now, I'm out there making the money, but she's the one who's helping to provide as well, to making sure that money is going to good use, to make sure that everybody in our house has what they need. This is a form of providing, and an excellent wife does it. Now, I know a lot of times men make the jokes about, you know, wives submitting to their husbands. But, you know, one thing that Scripture makes very clear is that without a wife or without a woman, a man would be missing something, right? Now, again, that's not always the case. If you talk to Paul, Paul says, you should be single like I am, right? Because if you're not single, if you've got a wife, if you've got a spouse, if you've got kids, your interests are divided. You're going to be focused on how to please them rather than how to please the Lord, right? But, you know, again, missing something that provides and assists and protects to such a degree, you know, that's something to be considered. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go there. You know, one of the things that we always have to do as the church is make sure that we are looking at these roles and these responsibilities through the biblical lens. You know, if you were to ask, you know, one of the things that I ask a lot of people in premarital counseling is, what are the expectations that you have of a husband? I'll ask that to the bride so that he can hear what she expects of him. And then I'll do the same thing with him. You know, groom, what is your expectations, or what are your expectations of a wife? Because I want her to hear what he expects of her. Now, very rarely do you hear couples nail the biblical expectations. Here's what's expected of a husband, or here's what's expected of a wife. I'm waiting to have that premarital counseling session where one of them says, this is what I expect of a wife, and it matches up perfectly with Scripture. I'm hoping. I think one day it'll happen. Same thing for a husband. It hasn't yet, but I'm hoping. But it's really important that we look at these things through the biblical lens, because we cannot expect godly results if we don't follow the instruction manual that God has given us, if we don't follow the template that God has given us. A lot of people want to live godly lives, and they want to have godly marriages. This is what they claim. But without following Scripture, which is meant to produce those things, how's it going to happen? We have to look at these things through the biblical lens. As a result, wives should be asking themselves, am I completing my husband? You know, if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, you know, this is verse 25, tremendous expectation that wives should have of husbands, because this is what God expects of husbands. Husband, love your wife, wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. Goodness gracious, that was some twang, wasn't it? Sanctify her. I combined those two words. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or in any such thing, that he might be holy and without blemish. Husbands should be asking this question. Am I loving my wife as a member of my body? Remember that Eve was fashioned out of Adam's rib. It was a member of his body. It was part of his body. And when she was presented to him, he said, at last, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Husbands should love their wives as a member of their body, and that's because that's who they are. Husbands should be asking that same thing. Am I fulfilling this expectation? Am I loving my wife as a member of my body? Not just asking it, but living it, of course. But, you know, for even people who aren't married, I hope this lesson still gave, you know, something. Whether it's for a future marriage or how to encourage others in their marriage. You know, we got Leah's engaged. She put it on Facebook, so it's okay to... Yeah, okay, so Leah Hartford. Leah Hartford's engaged, you know? And I think she is going to make an excellent wife. I do. I think she's going to make an excellent wife. But she still needs to be encouraged in her marriage. David needs to be encouraged as a soon-to-be husband. You know, I mean, again, even for people who are not married, I mean, this is still applicable information about how to live a godly life, how to live up to God's expectations, and, of course, how to encourage others. I mean, keep in mind, we look at the qualifications of an elder, of a deacon, of an evangelist. We can look at those qualifications in Scripture. And when you look at those qualifications, are they not characteristics and qualities that every Christian should strive after? Absolutely. We can look at the same thing when it comes to the expectations of a husband or wife. These are all qualities and characteristics that any person in the church should strive after. So it's still applicable. We're looking for the character of someone who is loving, who wants to help, looking out for the interest of others. These are all qualities that we should strive after. So there's a little dual application here. Okay, we're gonna pause there. End it a little bit early tonight, but that's okay.